Introducing Fitzy
and Whipper. House affordability here in Sydney, we're still struggling at the moment to get into the market.
There's extremes, aren't there? I mean, there's people busting to save their money to try and get a slice of this great land. And then you've got stories of $100 million apartments, you know, penthouses that could be sold off the plans in the city. It's ludicrous.
You can always find something a little bit run down, Sarah, and do it up.
Oh, yep.
You've done a few renovations in your time, Sarah.
Yeah, a few. It's a lot of work, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the block makes it look like it's fun. It's really not.
Doesn't it test
that relationship.
Yeah, and don't underestimate your in-and-out costs either,
See,
kids.
The blocks
it's hard to get in, it's hard to get
also
out.
Also, the block, they get $10,000 to do up a room or whatever, and you think, geez, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's because they get free plugs. All the companies get free plugs on the show. That's why they get it all so cheap.
Oh, here you, mate.
You can get ideas from other people, though. There's a guy called Bruce Makowski. This is over in the States.
Hey, Bruce.
Now, Bruce, a little bit about Bruce. Bruce is into, basically, I don't know, he's into art. He does designer accessories for some of the biggest brands in the world, like Porsche and stuff. Because you know how Porsche have leather products? You know,
yeah,
It's not about their cars and stuff.
You're wearing a Porsche jacket.
Bruce is one of these guys that designs all these high-end stuff. So he's an absolute millionaire, right?
Yep.
But his other passion is to buy a house and completely renovate it. He's just done one recently, Sarah.
Yep.
And it's on the market at the moment for $330 million.
Oh, Bruce, you better go.
It's in Bel Air, and it's got 38,000 square feet of land.
How big is it?
38,000 square feet.
Right, okay.
Is that like a football field?
Look at it there. It's got five levels. The thing is, like, it's just got your basic things in there. It's 12 bedrooms.
12 bedrooms, yep, thank God.
A 40-seat movie theatre, a bowling alley.
Amazing,
it's
imagine
got
that.
Three kitchens. It's got one of those candy rooms. Have you been into the M&M's States?
So they're candy dispensers all lined up.
Well, hang on, no, because when it's hot, you know you come home and you've left lollies in a jar and they all congeal.
I'm pretty sure.
Imagine that room. What a mess.
I think they're putting aircon in, Sarah.
You reckon?
I think it made the budget.
There would be aircon, Sarah, because have a look at the wine cellar.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
But see, this is the thing with this house. There's also an infinity pool, right, that overlooks
Hollywood.
But this is the thing. You can press a button and a movie cinema comes out of the pool.
Thank God.
So at night you can watch movies.
Yep. You know when you go for a midnight dip, right? You're with your friends and then you're under the water and you go, I'd just love to see Gladiator now.
Or Titanic.
Yeah.
Really feel the moment.
Yeah, you can act it out while it happens.
Yeah.
But it's genius.
But see, this is why it's $330 million. Everything that's in the house you get to keep, even the vintage cars. So there's 130 pieces of artwork from around the globe. Or the wine cellar that I spoke about, that really good wine.
Get that as well.
You get to keep it. So it all comes with a package.
So he doesn't get to enjoy any of the hard work he's done. He does it up and then sells it.
We're going to have to pass the hat around on this one, I think.
Oh.
All right, just throw a bit of shrapnel in, guys, and we'll see what we can do. We'll go in for a bid.
It's not bad, is it?
No.
It would be worth to rock up to the auction. And go, $700,000.
Throw a couple on it.
And then someone comes in with $210 million.
Mm-hmm. Damn. I was there. I was in the running.
No, who is that guy from the block always bidding?
The bald guy. It's just every one of them. Where is he?
Well done. Congratulations. Yesterday, you got a bit of coverage around in news.com.au and on the Daily Mail.
What you're talking about, my waist.
The headline was, Separate Beds is the Way to Go. Nova host Michael Whipper-Whitfley reveals he sleeps in a different room to his wife Lisa, and it's the secret to their successful marriage.
Secrets revealed. Interesting that the Daily Mail decided to pick this story up. Nothing wrong with it, mate, and I think there was a fair bit of support. You were concerned about the relationship. I mean, I'm in one of the bedrooms with aircon. Lisa's just on a day bed in a little cell at the front of the house without any aircon.
In a cell?
Yeah, that's fine, in the small little dungeon room that we have there.
Oh, my gosh.
But the relationship's fine. I give her a kiss on the lips when I get home. I give her a kiss goodnight. We say I love you. And occasionally we make out.
Do you use tongue?
Huh?
Well, it's like there's a kiss you'd give your mother.
Well, you have intimate moments where you get carried away and it's just all on, Sarah.
I don't believe you.
To be honest,
we don't want to hear about
the old kitchen bench.
There's some beautiful shots
of
Lisa and the kids there, Jack and Ted, and you go through the story. But can we go through? Oh, there's Benji and Zoe Marshall.
Oh, yeah, because they sleep in separate beds.
It was comprehensive. 34 comments at the end of the Daily Mail.
What's the feedback, mate?
It's been pretty good for you, mate.
Great.
This was from Jennifer Adams up in Brisbane. I'm always heartened when public figures come out in support of the sensible decision to slate separately. Hundreds of thousands of couples across the globe make this decision to prioritise their health over anyone else's definition of what a couple should do.
Yeah.
Everyone's relationship is different, and your relationship is not better than mine because my husband and I have separate rooms. It's just different.
Good to hear from Queensland.
That was well said, wasn't it? Thank you.
Very long comment, but great support.
Triggers Broom from this guy's from the UK, all the way over from London, mate.
Thanks for caring, UK.
I've been doing it for 12 years. Can't go wrong. I have my own room with a TV, all my guitars in one place, and peace and quiet. It's the way to go. He's not married. He just lives by himself.
Yeah, he does. Mm. He does.
It's still pretty good. Hey Am from Adelaide said king size bed is the way to go. Snuggle when you want to roll over when you're ready for some sleep.
You know what? Any parent will know. There's a feeling that's so special and it's unique because you don't get much of it when you're just by yourself.
Mm.
Like the other day, Lisa took Ted and Jack out in the pram. The minute I shut the door quietly behind them, I just thought, oh my God, this is heaven. This is heaven. I'm all by myself. No one to get in the way.
Yeah, see, I would find it weird. I would struggle to sleep without BJ next to me. I don't know. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think you got married for all the wrong reasons.
What were they?
And you had kids and you shouldn't have. That's the bottom line here. Yeah, you thought that this thing was just a ride in the park and a bit of fun and whatever. I can turn it on and off, go to that room, come to this room, don't talk to me.
How dare you suggest she's been used for breeding purposes?
I think she has.
What is good stock? How dare you?
And how is it any different? Sex in the City, was it big? Wanted to get rent a unit in the city, separate again.
Yep.
How is that not the next step?
I met a guy the other day who lives in New York. His wife lives in LA. He spends 1 week out of each month with her. Not a bad deal.
Oh, wow. Wait up. Just last three comments that I've got here from Togs. This is a beauty. He obviously listens to the show. Geez, Whip, you're punching,
okay,
which
thanks,
is good.
Togs,
Butterfly Blue from Scotland said, weirdo. And
he knows you.
And Joe Chow from Sydney said, unfortunately, the kids look like him. We need to go all the way over to Washington now to talk about Donald Trump's inauguration. Now, here in Sydney, how many people do you reckon will be setting their alarms for 1:30 in the morning?
I know I will be.
Tomorrow morning, you can tune in. That's when it starts, the swearing-in ceremony, and the crowd will be entertained by seldom performers. And one man who is over there at the moment is Mike Amore, the 7 News US Bureau Chief. Mike, welcome to the show!
Mike, welcome!
Yeah, that might be more clapping than the performers at Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony receives tomorrow. Someone cruelly said that the most famous person at the inauguration of Donald Trump tomorrow will be Barack Obama.
Yeah. Do you know what, Mike?
It has to be there.
I mean, that's been one of the key features of this inauguration is the lineup of entertainment. I think really they should just throw it open and make it like an open mic night. So if anybody wants to get up and do a song...
Karaoke night.
Why not?
Well, can I ask you, Mike, what's it? Because there's been a lot of talk that there's going to be a lot of protests outside the inauguration. Is there anything brewing outside already? Or
there's been some small protests in the last couple of days, but there are going to be protests here. Some are saying 350,000 could be protesting on the day, and there's another march for women the day after the inauguration. So, you know, Donald Trump is a contentious person. Let's not forget that. Not everybody is welcoming the fact that he'll be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States in less than 24 hours. Still, they're saying that maybe up to 700,000 supporters will be here.
Yep.
I think that might be a bit optimistic, but there's still going to be a fairly large crowd.
The other detail coming through is the fast turnaround they have to do, Mike, where Obama out, Trump in 5 hours, 100 staffers, bit of paint, carpets, all that. Give us more detail.
Yeah, it's like a crack team of 100 people that go in, a SWAT team of removalists.
Yeah.
While the inauguration ceremony is happening, as soon as the Obama family leave, they drive with the Trump family to the Capitol building for the swearing-in service. All these movers move in.
Yep.
If Donald Trump wants a red wall instead of a white wall, they do that. They put up all the photos of the Trump family. They put all his jocks away in his bedroom drawers. All his favorite food in the pantry.
Wow.
So when he walks in, he's met by the head of the White House, who says, "Welcome home, Mr. President." And it's meant to feel exactly like a home. It has gone astray before. Apparently, when Bill Clinton was sworn in, they lost Hillary Clinton's inauguration ball dress.
Yeah.
There was a frantic 15 minutes where they had to try and fight it. So it doesn't always go to plan, but that's what's meant to happen.
Now, we've heard all the rumours. The only bands that we've heard is Three Doors Down with Kryptonite, and there was supposed to be a Bruce Springsteen cover band called the B Street Team. But what are you hearing?
The B Street Team is out.
Yeah, the B Street Team is out because Bruce Springsteen said, well, you're not going to play my songs there. So what have you heard? Any latest updates? Any more entertainers, Mike?
In true Trump style, he says, you wait and see. It's going to be huge. We know that the national anthem sung by Jennifer Hudson, I believe, from memory,
yes,
for Barack Obama, is going to be sung by the runner-up, not the winner, the runner-up of America's Got Talent. And to be honest, I can't remember her name, but it probably says a lot. You know, he's such a confident man, Donald Trump. I love the fact that even though he's not even been sworn in as president, he's already trademarked his slogan for the 2020 election. But the slogan for the last election was Make America Great Again.
Yep.
Well, the slogan for 2020, now trademarked, will be Keep America Great.
Wow.
With or without an exclamation point.
Oh, wow.
Isn't it phenomenal? Hey, we just need to touch on this one, Mike. Getting around, he's been encouraged to dance with Caitlyn Jenner to support the LGBT community and show his faith there. Do we know that Caitlyn Jenner's going to be there?
That's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing this morning. Apparently, whether it's at the ball or it's at the actual event, that he's been encouraged to have a slow dance with.
If you could just get Caitlyn Jenner on for us next time we ring you, Mike, that'd be awesome.
I'll do my best, guys. Well, we'll watch it because he's going to his first dance will be to the tune of My Way. I guess that's Frank Sinatra.
Of course, he
did it My Way. Yeah.
Well, Mike, we're looking forward to it. Live rolling coverage of the inauguration from 3 a.m. Saturday morning. Well, it starts at 1:30 tomorrow morning, but 3 a.m. Saturday on 7. You can catch it all there. Thanks for joining us, mate, and have a good time.
Guys, interesting news article overnight. The 7-year itch, we're all familiar with this, okay? That's where you start to stray, apparently. And that, I didn't realise that, it applies to men, the 7-year itch. It's a bit like the midlife crisis, I suppose. Do women go through a midlife crisis?
Yeah, sometimes I think they can.
What do they do?
Well, it's menopause, isn't it?
Well, I think that's a different kind of crisis.
That's a sort of thing within the body.
It's also a midlife crisis for them, isn't it? That would be their version.
Let Whippa tell you about what happens to the female body.
Well, I'm actually supporting you and suggesting that a shift in mental thought is different to what happens to a female body. I'm supporting you if you listen,
thanks,
Sarah.
What I'm interested in
was this article that says women are more likely to start cheating around the age or marriage that has been at the 3-year mark. Between 3 to 4 years are your first sign of danger for women starting to stray. It's exactly where I sit right now.
3 years?
Yeah, I'm between 3 and 4 right now. Not to mention my wife came home with a new fresh face the other day, Sarah, again. The old Bowie.
I don't think she appreciates you revealing that on radio. In fact, I'm sure she told you not to.
Yeah, David Botox.
And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of a jab here and there.
Isn't it? It's expensive too.
Let me get this right.
Yeah.
Your wife doesn't sleep with you at night.
No.
And she's getting Botox on the side.
It's unbelievable.
So she's looking better because, you know, they say the first sign that a female is cheating is when she suddenly goes from looking good to looking amazing.
Yeah.
So she, Lisa, I saw her the other day. She looks sensational.
But she keeps
saying, this
is for me, you know. I need to feel good about myself.
Yeah, she does. So she can flirt with a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing all these puzzle pieces and I can't quite put together what they mean.
The pool cleaner loves it as well.
Don't have a pool. Wish I did.
Why has she got a pool cleaner coming over twice a week?
Issue, Sarah. You know, her routine at the moment is made up of hair one day, face mask the next, nails the next, eyebrows.
Tommy, have we got that blackhead remover thing?
It's in the post.
Because everyone's raving about that, Sarah. Do you use that stuff?
I don't know what it is.
We've got to do that.
The blackhead thing?
Yeah, where you just paint your face with that black stuff, that goo, and then you pull it off and apparently all your blackheads are gone.
What's this got to do with my wife cheating on
you? Well, you're just beauty regimes.
Fitzy's trying to see a silver lining in the fact your wife's cheating on you.
Okay, well, I've just realised that's not great, guys.
So it's 3 years. It's not the 7-year itch anymore.
No,
it's the 3-year itch.
7-year for guys. 3 years for girls. Write that down. Look at your calendars, married couples, and just be aware of that. You've heard it first here.
If you cheated, would you leave
with
Lisa,
you?
Or would you stay in it just because it's easier?
If I cheated?
Yeah, I reckon you'd stay because I think you're too lazy to go through the paperwork of getting a
divorce. But am I having an affair or am I just cheating?
You've
like, am
just,
I randoms or am
no,
I seeing
you've
someone
had an
behind
affair.
Her back?
You've had an affair.
Oh, no, I'd stay there. It's comfy at home.
There you go.
Do you know what I mean?
You're a great bloke.
Well, are you suggesting I should? Am I, do I get busted or do I admit it? I'm trying to work out how this plays out.
You'd love the power of knowing coming home to your wife. And
sorry,
going,
I'm late, honey. I've been working late.
Not tonight, honey. I've got a headache.
Yeah.
Knowing that you've just had a sesh.
Yeah, lunchtime sesh.
Sweaty and
dirty
exhausted.
Mm-hmm. I've been at Pilates again, stretching it out with the instructor.
Is it 3 years since your wedding?
Mm-hmm.
I try to erase that from my memory.
It feels like 10.
Yesterday, there was an announcement. God, I think it surprised everybody. The 44th Premier of New South Wales, Mr. Mike Baird, said he's going to be retiring from the job, and we are very lucky to have him in the studio this morning.
Yes.
Hey!
Well, I think it sums it up too. The front page of the paper this morning, you're hugging your beautiful wife, and it must have been obviously not a celebration, but a relief. These decisions don't come lightly under these circumstances.
No, look, I mean, there is an element to that, but, you know, in these roles and, look, in life, I think... we don't spend enough time with those we love and are dearest to. My wife has been an unbelievable support in this. I mean, I can't begin to describe the challenges that she's faced, and her encouragement and support has just been unrelenting. And,
yeah,
and
sure.
Even some of the hardest times, you know, she always said that she believed in me and, you know, to keep going. And you can't put words on that. So that hug probably... notwithstanding, we're coming up to 27 years of marriage. We're probably, you know, more in love today than we were right back at the beginning.
What did the family do last night?
Did you have a glass of red?
Well, yeah, no, I wasn't with the family last night, so
you
it wasn't my team.
Yeah, sure, yeah, sure.
But I did see them sort of later on. And,
yep.
Look, the kids are already sort of out with their friends, so... they've moved on.
Yeah. I didn't even watch the news.
Well, you got Laura, Kate, and Luke. But Laura, is Laura engaged? Is that correct?
She is. Yes.
19 years of age.
No, she's 20.
20. And what's his name?
Still youngish. Levi.
Levi.
Yeah, I won't put him out here on radio. Well, we won't do that to him.
Well, no. But did Levi ask for your permission to marry his daughter?
Looks like we are putting him out here. Look, he yes, he did. And look, that's a difficult thing. I remember talking to my father-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
I was petrified of my father-in-law. But no, he did it very, very, very well.
Yeah.
So he took me out and
said
that...
And got you blind. Well,
karaoke again, was it, Mike?
I won't go through it. But look, he's such a terrific young bloke. And look, in relationships, and you observe them in your kids now, there are some people... that just bring the best out of people. And my daughter, Laura, who's obviously the apple of Dad's eye, as is my other daughter, Kate, and my young fella, Luke. But Laura has so blossomed under in this relationship with Levi. She's just a wonderful young woman. So they're beautiful together. And I, you know, I can get emotional at times. I can tell you when I walk her down the aisle, I'm already getting emotional thinking about it. So it's going to be fantastic.
Is it true that you have to leave the job as Premier to get a higher paying job just to pay for the wedding?
She's going all out, isn't she, Mike?
Yeah, well, I was thinking a simple wedding, but...
You're selling the house, aren't you?
It is kind of sort
Macquarie.
Of bigger.
Bob Carr went to Macquarie. Are you next at a bank or something like that? Or
look, I don't know what I'll end up doing. I'll take some time off. But look, over the years, people have said, "Come and talk to me when you're finishing public life," and you know, I'll go and see what's around. I mean, I definitely want to work again. I'm still obviously young enough to have another part. To the career, so
how long have you been thinking about it, Mike? I mean, obviously the family impact, that must have been a challenge and a real struggle, like you mentioned in your speech yesterday. But to actually say, you know what, I think it's clear in my mind that this is the right move. How long had that been sitting with you?
I mean, you think about things over a period, but it really wasn't until the last few weeks. I mean, this is the time where, you know, we're six years in the government. We're halfway through this term. To reset and refresh is very important. You continue to refresh because, you know, that brings new ideas, new talent, fresh energy. And I think all organisations have to continue to do that. But as I looked at it, and I'm coming up to 10 years, obviously in public life, 3 years as a treasurer, 3 years as a premier, I thought, actually, I don't think this refresh includes me, but this is to the 2019 election and beyond.
Yep.
This is a team to set that agenda. I looked at what we'd achieved and, you know, where we were economically to where we are today and, you know, look at the infrastructure that we've got underway and you know, the budget. I mean, I always thought, coming from a financial services background, I could help with the budget if you ever given the opportunity. So I looked at that and I thought, wow, I've actually achieved far more than I ever thought could be done with this great team. There's a fantastic group prepared and ready to continue the work. And, you know, that package together with the family, I thought, well, it stumps.
You're a year and a half ago, you were the most popular politician in Australia. Teflon Mike. Do your mates call you Teflon? Do they don't call you that? Is that nickname going to stick around? Or
That will not stick around. they've used some of the other nicknames that have come.
You've heard those over the years.
Just quickly, Mike, short answers, just two basic questions that we need to ask. What's the one thing that you're proud about the most that being term of the Premier?
Look, I think, until yesterday, I hadn't really thought about it, but I do think going to the last election, you know, with that lease of the polls and wires, I know everyone got really sick of it, but it had been spoken about for a long time, and the reason it had been, because it was politically very difficult, because it's very easy to run a scare campaign against. The facts are very different, but the scare campaign can be run. And what it does is it finally gives us the money to build all that infrastructure.
Yep.
Remember, we had all the announcements about projects that were never built.
Yep.
By doing this, we will have a metro in this city. You've seen the enhancement to the motorways, to schools, to hospitals, to our sporting facilities, to the cultural facilities. For a generation, this city and state's going to be very different. Yep. So having achieved that, you know, I'm very proud. And the team, you know, achieved that because they had to face the campaign day in, day out. So very proud of the team for doing it and the result.
Well, on the other hand, what's probably the biggest regret for you? And I know this is a tough question, but what's the biggest regret since you've been Premier?
Well, look, I mean, I think I spoke about tax reform as one, but I mean, that's a harder issue. And yeah, there are so many elements that come with that. I think ultimately, when I look all through the period over 10 years, I never ever got to the position where I thought, well, this year I've regretted having done this or
yes.
that. I don't think it is really a time to reflect on the regrets. I think it is a sense of, yep. well, you know, we've achieved an incredible lot. And what I reflect on was that as a listening to former politicians, many people wished, almost all of them, when they left, that they took more risks.
Yep, sure.
Not doing that, and I don't regret that.
We've gone hard.
I feel that we have gone hard.
I actually caught up with you for a drink at a Christmas party just before Christmas, Mike, and I spoke to your beautiful wife, Kieran, and we had a chat about your job, and she said you have broken your back for this state, literally.
going down the stairs in your socks.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I can blame the state for that.
No, they didn't supply the socks. They weren't government-supplied socks, were they?
No, they weren't.
Mike, yesterday the announcement, was there any surprise messages you received? No doubt Barry O'Farrell, he put his hand up and said, Mike, come to the retirement party over here.
Look, he did say, he sent me a lovely text. In fact, I haven't got through. There was about 250 last time I saw. And look, many, to be honest, I'm quite humbled about, and you know, some of the response. It's just wonderful to get a contact from a whole group of people
yep.
that you respect, and to hear their words saying, look, you've done a good job. Mm-hmm. And obviously not everyone agrees with that, but those that got in contact did, and you know, it's I really appreciate it.
Are you going to keep your Twitter account, Mike? Because you live tweeted the Bachelor final, and which got a bit of publicity as well. You were very good on Twitter, your social media, or are you going to go cold turkey and get rid of them altogether?
Look, I think I will be very silent on Twitter.
I could actually see your family. I could see the whole family on Gogglebox.
Oh, that's not bad. The beds.
The beds.
I like that show.
Yeah, I could see you guys on there just sitting on the couch commentating on whatever might be happening.
No, we also, with our relationship with Mike as well, you've been really good on this show, mate. We appreciate you, you know, giving us your time and talking about your personal life. We also used to run into Mike quite a bit running around Mrs. Macquarie's chair, and you would have seen Whipper's Gladiator Running Club.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he was on a bike and never ran it himself.
Got a bad hip.
You're around there as well. But, mate, we've had some great moments on this show. Do you want to go through a few of the memories?
Yeah. Am I going to get emotional?
Yeah, you will. I reckon you'll cry at the end of this.
Yeah, with laughter.
The new South Wales premier, Mike Baird.
Misty Weber, morning.
We want to know what your favourite song is.
Power and the Passion by Midnight Oil.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
Oh, the power and the passion.
Hi, you've called Anastasia.
We got one message for you. Go those mighty blues. Any boss that does not let anyone go home early to celebrate the Blues' victory is a bum.
Smiles we gave to one another. Tell us about Taylor Swift. How'd you go on Saturday night?
I have to say the concert was fantastic. For the
way we were. My eldest daughter has got a boyfriend.
So have you grilled him?
We've had a few chats.
It was strange, Mike, that you tried to introduce the lockout laws on your own home.
Well,
some
well
of the
hard
hitting questions you've copped in here, mate, and the things you've had to do. Congratulations. What a great moment. We can get that to you as a new ringtone if you'd like.
That'd be lovely. How good was that Blues victory?
That would have been one of your huge highlights.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? It's not over for you yet, though. We wanted to get you a bit of a present. We've been racking our brains over the last 24 hours what to get you. And you are hanging up the boots, but that doesn't mean that we could maybe catch up for a beer and go and see your favourite band who have a reunion at the end of the year. So we got you a present, mate.
Oh, here we go.
We got you a Midnight Oil package, Power and the Passion book, and also we got Blue Sky Mining on vinyl, and also I've got a Diesel and Dust t-shirt for you from 1988.
That is awesome.
On Fair Dinkum.
Who better to give you a present like that than Australia's greatest bargain,
mate? Have a look at that vinyl. I thought you would like that.
That is awesome, and I don't even have to declare this now.
No, you don't. No influence here, mate.
Look at that.
I mean, we gave you the New South Wales jacket, now you got the Midnight Oil t-shirt.
Hold that up, mate. There you go.
Look at that.
Diesel and Dust.
And it's huge.
You could
it's
front,
a fitzy size.
That's right. I'll get you up on my shoulders, and we can break you back again when you fall to the ground.
Well, Mike, mate, thank you for all the time you've given us and what you've given to this show as well. We've had a lot of fun. So you're a fan of Gladys. You wanted to take over? You want her in the seat? Will she be coming into the studio next?
Obviously that's up to the party room. I mean, Gladys is outstanding, and whoever becomes premier, and if it's Gladys, I'll make sure.
Yeah.
Do you know what she likes? She got a song she likes to sing, Mike.
Yeah.
Just so we can get fired up.
What is Gladys?
I think she likes Bow River.
Does she?
Okay, all right. Bow River, yeah,
I think. Cold chisel. So that's a good start.
And just one more thing before you go. There was a promise that you gave us that we're still waiting on. I don't know if you can maybe pull one more favour before you leave office.
Backyard cricket?
Backyard cricket at Kirribilli House.
Yeah, now, look, I have spoken to the PM about this.
Yeah, have you?
Yeah, no, I have.
He doesn't live there.
What did he say?
No, I was standing there, and I said, look, this is Fitzy and Whipper want to come here. He looked a little bit confused. It's not that he doesn't know who Fitzy and Whipper are and Sarah. He's very familiar, but he wasn't quite sure why you wanted to play cricket on that slope.
On the slope. Neither are we confused
as
well.
We'll work it out somehow. Thank you so much, mate. We want to thank you. You've come on this show for the last 3 years, and we've enjoyed, you know, every single moment that you've been on here. Well done. Congratulations. Enjoy the rest of your time. We send all our best wishes to your family as well, mate. But thank you very much, Mike, for all your help.
Thank you. Thank you, Fitzy, Whipper and Sarah. It's been a delight to spend time with you guys on this journey. Love listening to you. You're a great addition. And as we've said, the number one station in Sydney. And we really appreciate the time. So thank you to all your listeners. Thanks for everything. Thanks for your support.
We've just got one karaoke version of Power and the Passion if you want to sing it out. No, you don't have to. Thanks, mate.
We've done that.
Lights, camera, clarity.
See a big one in LA overnight, the People's Choice Awards.
Yeah, that's right. 2017, all the stars were there. It was a big night. It started with Joel McHale, who was hosting, having a little bit of a joke about all the things that have happened in 2016 and throwing a mention to someone that our drive show regularly like to reference, the third Hemsworth brother, Luke. Have a listen.
Lots of things caught us by surprise. The huge success of Deadpool, the release of Beyonce's Lemonade. Yep. And the most shocking of all, the discovery of a third Hemsworth brother. Oh, there he is. See? Yeah. You guys just divide. I don't know how you do it.
He does a bit of acting, Luke, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's in a hugely successful TV show over in the US, and he was sitting there because he was up to present an award later. So the camera's just on him, and he takes it well. God love him. He's clearly, you know, Aussie. He can take a joke, but you have to feel for him. It's just constant.
He's a great guy,
badgering.
Luke. He's really, doing really well. Good mates with Dan McPherson and
Bikey Wars. He was in Bikey Wars. Yeah,
he's in Westerworld. Yeah, if you watch that, it's on Foxtel. It's very popular in the US. On the night as well, Ellen, she received 3 awards. Now, this made her, it set the record. She is the most People's Choice Awards by any human. She has won the most.
Wow, so, how many do you know?
I think it was 19, actually. Have a listen.
This is amazing. 20 is, 20. I mean, 17, I get it. 18, sure. 19, I can see that. But 20 is outrageous.
Oh, good on her.
Very cute. So Justin Timberlake presented the award and he got up 20 people with statues just to show how many she had won.
That's
up there.
Funny.
Yeah.
Good idea.
It was very cute. Blake Lively also won an award and she obviously knows how amazing her husband Ryan Reynolds is, as she just wanted everybody else to know to stay away from him.
Thank you to my husband, who's everything to me. You can't have him, he's mine.
It's not the first time she said that, I reckon.
Tongues were wagging, though. Everyone was waiting for Jennifer Lopez and Drake to appear together. Right. Obviously, Drake was there. He was presenting an award. And it turns out they're still going strong. They were out partying the other
night. What happened to Drake and Rihanna? Like, well, weren't they together?
But they there was were. A bit, yeah.
There was no reports that they'd split up.
There were photos.
No, there were, remember? It was the end of last year because they'd made out on stage when he presented her with an award.
Yeah, I thought they were going
strong.
And
then after that, it really fizzled. And then over the holiday period, J-Lo and Drake have hooked up and started putting snaps of each other on Instagram, and Rihanna's suddenly unfriended J-Lo. Anyway, no word on whether J-Lo's introduced her kids to Drake yet, but it still seems pretty serious.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So
yeah,
everyone
right.
was waiting to see them on the red carpet together.
Gee, he's punching there a bit, isn't he? Mm. That's a good effort.
J-Lo, Yeah, that is a good
effort.
I
mean, Drake's one of the biggest artists in the world, don't get me wrong,
he's not
but
that
she's
good looking,
gorgeous.
Is he? Is Drake?
Oh, yeah, he's a,
yeah, he's talented. She's stunning.
That Hotline Bling dance, that gets me excited.
That could win you.
Finally, one of the awards last night as well, The Rock. He was caught during an award flipping the bird at Kevin Hart, who was receiving this award. So Kevin Hart has got up. He's won favourite comedy performance, and he's started to thank all the co-stars he's worked with, and the camera's gone to The Rock. And there he is giving Kevin Hart the finger. Have a listen.
This one goes to all of the co-stars that I've had except The Rock, because he hasn't helped me. He hasn't helped me at all. You've actually lessened my talent.
Do you reckon Diggy's done internet dating?
No.
Doesn't need to. He's Richard Wilkins.
Or ever used a dating app.
Doesn't need to.
I just feel now there's so many dating apps around that it's getting a bit seedy. It's getting a bit dirty, if you know what I mean. And this story that I'm about to tell you, I think, just sums it up. And if you've had a dating mishap, give us a call, 13 24 10. This could be your opportunity to gripe right instead of swiping right,
that's
Sarah.
Not bad.
Right.
That's not bad.
All right, if you've had a bad date online or with a dating app, because a guy has got into a bit of trouble where he swiped right on a girl, met up with her and thought, this is going really well, I'm going to get this girl on the first night. Mm-hmm. And the girl has played along with him the whole time. At the end of the night, she's blown up at him and stormed off. And he's grabbed her and said, what are you doing? What's going on? She goes, you pig. I've been here with you for the last hour and you've been courting me the whole time and you don't know. And he's going, what are you talking about? She goes, you idiot. A year ago, you picked me up on the same dating app, Tinder, and
no.
I slept with you and you can't remember who I am.
Oh, no.
So offensive.
No wonder he had the fit. No wonder he's... His gut thought was, I reckon.
Look at the bloke with a grin in the newsroom
I
over there.
I love it.
So, a year later, he's forgotten that he slept with that girl.
I thought the app doesn't work like that. I mean, if you've already met that person.
No, you rematch.
Oh, you can spin it around again, can you?
Yeah, and the thing is, if you go too far on Tinder and keep saying, in particular, and keep saying like no to people, eventually they run out, so they just start feeding them back in and hope you don't notice.
Is it still a big problem that you, when you meet someone that you've met on a dating app or internet dating, that their bios are just totally different or their profile picture is totally different to what they look like?
You just have to
13,
expect.
13, 24, 10, if you've got a story.
You've got to expect whatever photo you're looking at, it's the best of them. So it can't go up from what you're seeing at that moment in time. No one puts a bad photo hoping that someone will like it.
If it's a wedding day or a racer's day, that photo does not count because they will not have put that much effort in when you go for a date.
On a Sunday morning, they will not look like that.
Absolutely not.
Have you heard, here's another good one for you. There's a restaurant out there. I can't remember the name of it.
Go on.
But there's a certain drink that you can order from the restaurant. Now, if you order that drink from the waiter, they know that you want to get out of the date.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which is not a bad idea.
So it's a sign of the barman. So then the barman can come in and cut
and
that
and say that
and
there's
interrupt.
An emergency and you need to be taken out of
Hang
there.
Hang on, but if you're both single and in the dating scene, wouldn't you both know the code word?
No. But if you're on Tinder, you swipe right, you tell this person, meet me at this restaurant. They've got no idea that there's a certain drink there, Sarah. If it's not going well, you order the drink and the waiter will get you out of there and say that there's an emergency.
You're right, Sarah. If they both know it and you're sitting there and he orders the drink and you thought it was going well.
or she orders it first before you'd be shattered.
You're only 10 minutes into meeting the person.
Will's given us a call from Vaucluse. What happened to you, Will?
Mate, well, I've matched with this girl on Tinder, and she's all her profile pictures are just her at Bondi, like having a good time, pitching, bucket list, everything.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Turns out she was from Penrith.
Oh, right, okay. Right, so she wasn't an Eastern Suburbs girl.
No, and the only good thing about Penrith is that new burger shop, the Burger Head. That's mad. But other than that, there's nothing going on.
That's nice.
Well, catfish me.
Well, you're
she
kidding yourself.
Me.
Suburbous.
Will, I'm putting it out there. I don't think you're from Vaucluse, Will.
No, I am. I swear.
What street do you live on, big fella?
John Dykes Avenue.
John Dykes Avenue.
If you live in Penrith, you're allowed to go to Bondi Beach. I mean, it's not
breaking the rules,
Will.
Yeah, but don't create the illusion that, like, you live close to me.
Oh, give me a break.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Will. Thanks for your call, mate. We're just double-checking you from Vaucluse.
Well, it's not very often that you have a legend in the studio, and when we do get this guy in here, it's just, I feel like I'm a sponge, mate. I just want to absorb as much information about his life and his career as I can. It's always a pleasure getting this man in. It is Richard Wilkins!
Happy New Year, boys.
Mate, I've got to say, I mean, if anything got a workout over summer, I'd say it was the pool at your place, judging by your Instagram post. Yeah, and the prints.
It went quite well. You were both invited to come over and obviously didn't make it, but there you go.
So how many pools have you got these days?
Oh, mate, just, you know.
Because there's a front one and there's a back. I mean, there's two pools, isn't there?
Well, there's a morning and an afternoon.
Yeah. Different pool, different drink.
That's like your women as well, isn't it?
Oh, come on.
Now, that is not fair.
Tacky. He's Fitzy. A guest on the show. Yeah.
How dare you?
Dickie's part of the family now as well because we have Smooth Radio as well, and you're doing a great job on there.
Thank you very much.
You mongrel, because you're actually beating us in the ratings, but that's
cool.
Afternoons, when am I on? Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m.
Thinking about your pool.
I was doing the drive shift over the summer break, but it's good. Yeah, I love it. Love it.
Nice. How'd you get the Golden Globes?
It was fantastic. Plenty of Aussies nominated. Sadly, no one won.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was good to see Nicole there and Keith.
Did you rip into it that night?
We did have a bit of a drink after.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
You work all day.
Yeah.
You deserve it. You know, you need a bit of refreshment after the show, I would have thought.
Tell us over the years, with your career, Oscars, Golden Globes, what's been the best after party? Didn't you sneak into after Rusty won his Oscar, you got into that after party, or what's been the best moment for you over?
Yeah, he snuck me into the Governor's Ball, which is pretty ritzy. You know, everybody's there, and Rusty won the Oscar, so they're all lining up to pay their respects. You know, Katzenbergs and Spielbergs and Eisenbergs and
all the Bergs.
Lots of Bergs in attendance.
Mark Wahlberg.
The Wahlbergs were there.
Yeah.
And other people as well, not just Bergs.
Not just Bergs. Right. So that was a quiet night.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
This will sound pathetic, but usually after a show like that, I've got to go and work and put a story together.
Yeah, sure.
But
gets in the way.
It's kind of good work.
Australia Day's coming up. What do you do next week, next Thursday? What's usually your plans, Dickie?
Well, do the Today Show on the telly.
Yep.
In fact, some friends of mine, Lisa Wilkinson, my colleague.
Oh, I've heard of her.
She and her husband, the big tall bloke with the red bandana. They normally put on a big bash at their place, so I pop in there, take a plate.
Well, it'd be a bit boring now because they're off the sugar and they don't drink booze do they?
That's a good point. I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not sure what I'm doing on Australia. What are you blokes doing?
Coming around to your place, mate.
Well, we're celebrating Australia with some lamb on the barbie.
Yep.
Come and do it at my joint.
Yep. Okay.
Front pool or back pool? Well, what time do you want us there?
Come at lunchtime. We'll do both.
Dickie, you're not just a television superstar. Not many people know, but but you did have a music career there. What are we talking, 80s? 70s? 60s?
Jeez. No, it started in New Zealand.
I started in New Zealand in the 70s, came here with my band in 1980, and the rest is highly forgettable.
Yeah, and you were Richard Wilde.
I was.
And what was the name of the band?
Wild and Reckless. It wasn't supposed to be funny. It was supposed to be
good.
It was edgy. Good.
What genre were you?
Oh, sort of pop? Nasty pop. Yeah
nasty
give us,
pop.
Give us some track names.
Young Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Which you still sing to this day.
Little White Lies.
Oh, yeah. A couple of those as well.
What's My Name?
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. Radio. She's Good to Me.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Next time you come on this show, we're going to have one of your songs ready to go.
Please don't.
When was the last time Richard Wilkins was played on Nova?
Because there would have been a lot of synth and
stuff.
Last
time someone got fired.
Could we do a Richard Wilkins Red Room?
Wow. Oh. Nova's Red Room. Sheeran.
We've got Ed Sheeran at the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, no,
would
good.
Wild and Reckless like to support him?
Mate, if you want people to stay for the Little Red. That's really good having Ed doing the Red Room. That's phenomenal.
It's
going
to be massive.
Yeah.
Because we
Am
do...
Am I allowed to come?
Yeah, mate. You're
we'd
in.
Love,
you're
yeah, in. We'd love. Just register, maybe.
6 to 9, buddy.
Good luck. Listen out for an Ed Sheeran song while you're in today and give us a call.
Thanks.
But no, it's wrap up of the week. It's Friday, Dickie. So we like to get some of our guests in to go head-to-head with one of the members on the team. Mm. And you're up today.
Oh.
And you're going up against the big fella over here, Whipfleet.
Jeez.
So, Dickie, usually we go through the subjects and what we've been talking about during that week. But, mate, we've left this up to you. You've been outside for the last 20 minutes writing down some lyrics.
Mm.
You can rap about anything that you want. Maybe chuck in Australia Day and maybe a bit of lamb on the barbie or something like that. Can you do that? Dickie, do you want to go first?
You want to go first, big guy?
Yeah, all right. Here we go.
All right. KTM, whipper, whipper, and fit say. I love it when you rap battle on Friday. Don't know how much that whipper weighs. Escalator on at the buffet. Wrap up of the week time. We have got the great man, Channel 9 superstar Richard Wilkins here with us today. And he is going head to head against the other big man at Nova, Michael Whipfleet.
No way, mate.
Notorious P.I.G.
No, it's B.I.G. Dickie, you're up first. You nervous or you got this?
I'm nervous. I'm really nervous.
Come on, Dickie.
Come on, Dickie. You can do this.
Let's do it.
Bring it home, Dickie.
Lemonade.
Bring it, Dickie.
Two pool, Dickie.
The name is Dickie, I'm the bloke on TV. I talk to the stars, they're all nice to me. My hair is real, my tan is too. My favourite job would be to drum for you too. Smooth on the radio early on today. Once upon a time I was on Hey Hey. Don't wear Speedos, but I do love a party. And I don't mind putting some lamb on the barbie. Born in New Zealand, so it's probably ironic. My favourite drink is a gin and gin and gin and gin and gin and gin and tonic. Yeah!
Dab plank, throw some ice on him. That was, wow, dab plank, you dab plank that?
That is going to be tough to beat, Michael.
Oh,
now I'm nervous, now I'm really.
Well done, Dickie, that was awesome.
Hang on a minute, is part of my rap missing? I've done another page.
Oh, no.
I was hoping you were going to get gin and tonic in. Well done.
gin and tonic.
Right.
I just felt like an extra one at the end.
Right, here we go. Let's do this.
Oh, look at him, he's nervous.
I can't just, I lose my breath, that's my problem. Richard Wilkins, you beautiful thing.
They don't laugh too much, mate.
Richard Wilkins, you bloody Aussie. Whatever I say next, I'm not sorry. Ladies think he's one of a kind. Big hands, big hair, the ultimate fine. A little black book, like no other. It's chockers, it's your bread and butter. Sorry, mate, my mind's in the gutter, but I heard it was full of out-of-control mothers. No, that's not fair.
What?
I've gone too hard. You like an email? Drop your guard. You're good at this game. The names you've met, Michael Jackson, Madonna, Kate Blanchett. The list goes on. Hollywood to Disney. Have you ever met Rebecca Gibney?
Oh!
You're an Aussie icon, born and bred. We all work hard just to be fed, but when you're live on TV, it has to be said. Don't mention that Jeff Goldblum's dead. Oh. Australia Day, Amazing Dickie. Let's party all night. Don't make it a quickie. You know I love you. I'm your biggest fan, so I'll shut up now. Let's eat lamb! Yeah. Yeah.
You win. That was awesome.
Oh, Sarah, it's up to Sarah. Given everything. This is my time.
Do you know, we've come close one other time. I think it was Keith Urban.
What do you reckon? Hand it over.
You are just, there's funny and then there's rude. You were really quite rude to pitch it in, man. Yeah. And he was just funnier. Dickie's a
Well done,
well done, and make sure you tune in because Nova are going to be with the Today Show, Parramatta Park on Australia Day. Make sure you get down to Parramatta Park. We're going to be celebrating Australia with some lamb on the barbie with Dickie. Always a pleasure to get you in, legend.
Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dickie.
Thank you,
Sarah. Great job all around.
Have another great year, boys.
How good is a prison break story? I love it. You know, they have them on TV sometimes. I don't know what that show is on Foxtel. What is it? Prison escapes or something?
There's a...
And they get towels and share bed sheets and they'll climb over a wall. And
there's a new one on Foxtel called 60 Days In. Has anyone seen that?
No.
Where they send everyday people into prison for 60 days. Now, you go in as a prisoner and there's cameras everywhere set up. And you've got to try to obviously live a normal life, but then also try to find out information for the prison guards. It's pretty full on.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Man, it's amazing. Like, mums go in there who have kids and stuff, and they just want to try it.
What are they getting out of
that? So they've got a fascination with jail. Yeah.
There's women out there, like there's mums. There was this one woman who's got two kids and she's a stay-at-home mum, but she's always dreamed of being like on the police force.
Yeah, right.
So she just wanted to try if she was up for it. Mate, the first 2 days, they just break down and cry.
Yep, get me out of there. How's this story? This is from Berrima in NT. This is to do with the Darwin jail. There's a bloke called Hess who was locked up in the 90s. This story is unbelievable. So when you go to jail and they take your clothes, give you your overalls, they give you, all inmates on entry are given a handbook, right? The basics of being in jail.
I don't think it's like in a hotel
where it talks about the facilities and some of the attractions around the area.
Do they get a toiletries bag
as
well?
You get a toiletry bag, they'll show you where the barbed wire is. They show you where solitary confinement is.
Get an espresso machine.
No, I don't think it's like that. Anyway, on the front of the booklet given to the inmates, there was a picture of a key. Now, this key just happened to be the exact design of the master key that the guards would use. And one prisoner, Hess, figured this out.
Come on.
Turns out he used to be a jeweler. So he would spend his days in the cell making a key that looked like the key on the front of the booklet that was given.
Oh, give me a break.
He was creating a master key from a picture he saw on the front of the booklet, right? He was in a cell where he couldn't reach the lock. So what he would do was hand it to his inmate, and his inmate would put his arm through the bars, and he would use the key that he was building in the cell to see if he could unlock it. And he'd say, nah, it's turning a little bit, mate, might need to adjust it. So he would pass the key back, and he would chisel away till he had the exact design that was on the front of the booklet. He then used the key to escape. 12 days on the run, got out. Who puts a picture of a master key on the front of the booklet?
First of all,
that is an unbelievable
story.
Do
prisons still have keys?
Of course they do, mate.
Well, how else are you going to lock it?
Now, isn't it all computer scan now? You got scan
you
cards.
You watch too much American TV.
It has to be and codes. You'd have to put in codes, wouldn't there be?
For entry to the prison, maybe, but the prison cells would be still key.
Yeah, but
I think you're staying in some bad hotels.
No, okay, you've got out of the prison cell. All right, well done. But then you've got to get out of the prison.
Master key.
No,
this is like in 95, mate. This is 95.
So there's one key that unlocks every door in the prison.
Of course there would be. If you're a guard, right, working on a prison, you're not going to have a key to every different cell. You're going to need a master so you can get in and out easily and have access when you need to.
So if
you create that master key, bang, you're out. You're running free.
So if that key ever goes missing, every prisoner could get out.
Could unlock every other door. Wouldn't be surprised if he sent it back in and the next one got out. He was on the run. Mate, it's an amazing story. He was shot dead, unfortunately. No, he wasn't. I didn't find out what happened to Hess. But he did get caught after 12 days. But great effort. Chiseling a chiseling a key that you've seen a photo of.
Prison Break's a better story.
That was the best you'll ever hear on a prison
break.
Tattooed
no, what his, I just his blueprints onto his body.
That wasn't real.
To get out. That's
except weren't story. They all over his back? And yeah. how could he do see that? Them
and
to
the
then
mirror,
do it?
The mirror image is the wrong way around.
No. They
would have kept running into walls.
They tattooed it reverse.
Did they?
So when he looked at it, it was the right blueprint.
It's not a true story. This one is.
So true. Well, Donald Trump's inauguration kicks off at around about 1:30 a.m.
yep.
here.
Televised 3 a.m. Who's setting their alarm when they go to bed tonight?
I think you'll get to see. If you wake up at around about 6 o'clock, it'll still be going.
Mm.
I don't think the entertainment list is that long.
Get ready to party.
One lady who is over there, she's been working on the inauguration. You could basically say she's been putting the party together. Mm. Is a lady by the name of Anastasia Haddon, and she joins us now. Thanks for coming on the show, Anastasia.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, really well, Anastasia. What's your actual role there for the Trump administration?
You know what? So I'm a representative of the 58th Presidential Inaugural Committee. So we are the team that has been putting together all the events and all the excitement that you'll be seeing and hearing about this week.
Yeah, sure. Anastasia, has this one been a little bit different? I mean, obviously there's some controversy surrounding Trump and everyone's divided. But, I mean, one thing that's drawn a lot of attention is the axe. Now, the only one that's really a name in Australia here is Three Doors Down. How does the lineup look for the big party?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just start by saying that we are so excited about this week because I know you mentioned that there's a lot of, you know, divisiveness and, mm-hmm. you know, and really historically, especially the inauguration has always been about uniting the American people.
Mm.
So we're just kicking things off here right now in Washington, D.C. We've got the Make America Great Again concert, I think, starting in about an hour here now.
Yep.
Right.
And that's where Three Doors Down will be. We've also got Toby Keith, Lee Greenwood, and you know we're really excited about the people that are participating in this and the millions of people that are going to be watching. And I will tell you that we had so much more interest in terms of entertainment than we did have spots to fill. So I know you're hearing about all the trouble with entertainment, but really. We're excited about what we have, and we're excited to get this started here and get Donald J. Trump sworn in tomorrow.
Is there any surprise acts, Anastasia, that you can't tell us about that might blow us away?
You know what? I don't have any information on surprise acts, but I will tell you to just stay tuned because, you know, as you know, there are balls as well, inaugural balls that the president-elect and vice president-elect will be attending, and those performers are being announced today and tomorrow. So stay tuned on that. I wish I had more for you.
Anastasia, can you shed any light on this one? One of the stories this morning floating around is that President Trump will be advised to have a dance with Caitlyn Jenner. Can you confirm there's any truth in this one?
You know what? I hear that he will be having a dance. I do not know who it's going to be with. Wow. So we will see. I was thinking that it was going to be with Ivanka or someone in his family. Yeah. So we'll see.
And what about celebrity guests? Can you give us any of the celebrity guests that will be attending, Anastasia?
You know, I know we've got a bunch of people that are coming into town. The whole focus of this inauguration is bringing in the American people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure on exactly, and I know that's not what you want to hear, but I'm not sure on exactly which celebrities will be here.
Anastasia, you also worked on the Tony Abbott election, is that correct?
I did. I helped out over there in Sydney. I used to tune into your guys' show occasionally.
Wow. So,
yeah.
I mean, in terms of organising a party, what's the difference between what Trump's putting together and, you know, Tony Abbott and the show that we had here?
Well, obviously, very different systems. I won't say one's better than the other, but...
Who got really boozed at Tony Abbott's party?
Oh, yeah.
Who messed up there?
Oh, my God. Stop it.
It was
probably
all of
myself. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, you said you did listen to our show, and, you know, you try to... If you want to keep up with all the current affairs that's happening, you know, in Australia, you listen to our news, and Matt DeGroote's our newsreader. Do you rate him as a newsreader, Anastasia? Is he good at his job?
You know what? What do you guys think?
Nah.
No, he's just hanging in there. He's just hanging in there. On many fronts, he lets us down, Anastasia. I'm sure he did the same to you.
Well, Anastasia, you sat on the fence very well throughout that whole interview. You did very well. Hey, enjoy the inauguration. It starts at 1:30 in the morning here. You can watch it on Channel 7 from about 3 a.m., but we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks Anastasia. Good luck.
Bye. Thank you. Fitzy and Whipper. Nova.